They got an A for effort, but outside of that,
they
struggled.
And they fun. They got up and they were laughing and they were having carrying on. They were having a good time. But surfing, they weren't doing it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Like we was in Hawaii, for an example, there was a guy that come up, had a wetsuit on. His was like the half, sleeved and just to the thigh. And he looked like he knew what he was doing. He had his wetsuit off, you know, hanging off of him, got his board. He stretched. He did all his stuff. Looked like he even was praying at a time or two. I don't know if he was praying or meditating or what he was doing. But he stayed on the beach for a while. I mean, he stretched. He planted his board and people gathered around him and he talked to him. He looked like a native Hawaiian. Now, he may not have been. But when it come time for him to get out there, he got on and he's a small fella, smaller guy, short, kind of thick, but short. And that old board was just long and big. And those waves, I mean, we was on Sunset Beach, this where all your big stuff happens. There's a pipeline through there. I mean, this is where real big time surfing takes place. He gets out there and he tries to go over the waves. Every time they would come in, that board would hit him and flip him. Blue. It became more and more obvious on every attempt that this guy didn't know what he was doing. Even though I don't know what I'm doing, I've watched enough and seen enough that when they going out on those boards, they dive under the wave. When the wave's rolling in, they push down and the wave comes over them and they come out the other side. And they keep doing that until they get out. I mean, I'm talking about serious waves now. When he was on that board, he would go into the wave like this and that wave would just take him and turn him over. And he'd stop. It took him, I don't know how long, to get a quarter of a ways out there. Then comes another guy. And this guy, he was just in shorts with a board, ran out there, never stretched, never stopped. He jumped in the water, and son, he just jump, went right past him. I'm talking about 45 minutes to an hour later, he scooted right on past. He was surfing, and this guy was still trying to get out there. And it's just inexperience, not knowing what he was doing. I don't know how to surf. I've never surfed before. I wouldn't do it. But I could observe enough to know that, hey, this guy really doesn't know how to get out to where he needs to get to even begin surfing. And I'm not talking about little waves. I'm talking about, them things were banging, buddy. And it has a reef out there, so you have two sets. And what they're doing is they want to get past that first set to go out there where these big waves are, and they'll ride them. They don't ride them all the way in because, I mean, they out there. They taking them out. They out there on those wave runners and stuff, pulling folks out. It's I mean, it's serious. And cameras everywhere, people with them big old lenses taking pictures of them, people with, like, movie cameras out there. I mean, they doing all kind of. This is a serious place for serious surfers. In that time of the year, they come in from all over. Because your winter time, your November, December, January is your biggest waves. That's when they really do your dominant surfing. But this was the same thing. It reminds me, as Brother Shannon was talking about, he watched them get out there. he watched them get on the board in the wrong placement. Enter the water in the wrong place when they had plenty other opportunities. And we see that with people. We've got to be observant with people like in the kingdom that are new, that are doing things and just struggling and fighting with stuff that they already got victory over. Right. And it'll be a whole lot easier for them. And when we see that, we want to help them. We want to be a tool to them. In a couple places. Look in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is what we want to call doing the kingdom right, doing church work, kingdom work, God's way. Chapter 5. And we're going to begin in verse number 12. He says, we urge you, we encourage you, we prod you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's the first thing. We can find, if we're not careful in the society that we live in today, my position in the kingdom of God is becoming less and less in this culture we live in, less needful, in the sense that there's a major thrust going on that you don't need an overseer, a pastor, a shepherd in your life. You don't need to be part of a quote unquote organized church. And that is part of this great apostasy that we're going to see over time just continue to get worse, is that there are people who are propagating, people who are saying, look, the church hurt me, the church wounded me, stay away from the church, you don't need the church. Now understand the difference between what we know as what is called a physical, visible church and what is what we know of as the invisible church, that is the body of Christ.
Right.
And God has an order, God has a structure, the way he has always operated. He gave teachers and preachers and evangelists and those things to the body of Christ to be a gift to the body. That
1 Corinthians 12.
We see that's part of those gifts that he gave. Ephesians 4, Romans talks about the giftings that God gives to each one of us so that we can all edify one another. There are no long rangers in the kingdom of God. Nobody operates by themselves effectively in the kingdom. If you're independent going out, it's because you've been sent out by God to go establish a place in a dark area that doesn't know of Jesus, has never heard of him, and you're going to win people, to gather them people, to teach them and equip them, and then launch them out to go do the same things that you were sent to do. But there are no independent rogue people in the kingdom that say that they can function most effectively without being connected with the body of Christ. That's not how God operates. It's just not how he works. And I think he knows what he's doing. He knows why he did what he did.
Yeah.
The scripture says in Acts chapter 20 that those whom he purchased with his blood, he made you overseers of them. That is that you are to be watchful over them, to pray and watch and encourage and watch when they're struggling so that you can help them with that issue in their life. So we see this right here that he says those who are that lead you and those that teach you, verse 13, esteem them very highly in love, notice, and not because of who they are, but for their work's sake. For the work of the kingdom. The kingdom's work.
Right.
See, God just supplies us with what we need for every good work, for kingdom work. And that's what we want to see. This is not a personality thing. This is not an issue with, well, I like this guy and I like that guy. I don't like this guy. I don't like that one. This is kingdom mindedness. This is for kingdom work. We have this push against that. That's saying we don't need that. We can do our thing our way, our own way, and we've been hurt by the church too many times, and we're not going to be part of it anymore. So they're basing their entire mindset on an experience and not a revelation from God. And we want to live by His revelation, by what God tells us. Hey, bosses are going to mistreat you, employees are going to mistreat us. Are you with me? Spouses are not always going to treat us the way that, are we not always going to treat our spouses the way they need to be treated? That's just part of life. We live in a fallen world with fallen problems, with fallen people, and things are not always going to go the way we think they ought to go. But God knows best, and we can trust Him. And remember, He uses all those things.
Right.
To make us more like Jesus. Amen. So,
as a body.
And a body has aches. A body has pains in this old fallen world. Davin, you heard any?
Do you ever have backache, Dad?
I did one time.
One time? You took two Motrin before you. Yeah, Keith said, boy, glad he had his brace on last night because he walked into a wall heater. He bumped it.
You know, my radiator heaters down there. Well, I only had a turn and it was in that dark corner. I hit that dude. Boy, I'm glad I had that brace on.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked at my knees if I hadn't had it on. If I hadn't had it on, I'm telling you.
And dark. We as a body need to hurt when you're hurt.
The scripture says we weep when those weep, we rejoice when those rejoice. Wow, we're part of the same body. And not one part of the body is any more significant than the rest of the body. We all play a significant role. And we all have equal access to the things of God, every one of us. Husbands, wives, pastors, evangelists, the body of Christ as a whole, we all have equal access, and we all have an unequaled authority, meaning you have the authority to do what God set you apart to do. I don't have that authority.
Right.
You don't have the authority to walk in my calling. Right. You know, we all have that authority that has been given to us is not equal authority. Same way in the role of a house, that your wife, your children, all have equal access to God just like you do. None of us can hoard that over anybody. We all have access to Him through Jesus, but we all don't carry the same equal authority within the home. God has placed a structure in there for a reason. And so we see this. He says in verse 14, now we exhort you, we encourage you, brethren, to do what? Warn those who are out of order, who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all of them. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and that basically means to come alongside those who are struggling, hold back those who are caught in a trespass, hold them back from death, from walking toward death. These are all things that we're to do with one another. So that idea of comforting the faint-hearted, those who are struggling, come alongside to help them. Like Brother Shannon noticed how these people were struggling with something that they had a sincere desire to do. They just didn't know how to get it done. They didn't know how to serve. They didn't have that experience. They didn't have somebody teaching them, showing them. And two, the elements of surfing, I'd imagine, you need good waves. You're not going to be able to surf if you don't have adequate. If you're not in an adequate environment to surf, you can't surf out here.
The surf was choppy. It was pretty good sized waves, but it was choppy and they were close together.
So that makes it a challenge for an inexperienced surfer to begin with.
The board was 7 feet tall.
Right.
I mean, the board was about as long as it was in between sets. I mean, it was just, everything was wrong. But I did two things. A, I mind my own business and stayed on the board because the old man ain't got no business out there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And B, they were having fun. I did see that they were laughing and fun and carrying on, and even though they were falling off.
Right.
Why interfere with them out there having? They were out there having fun like everybody else would have fun.
Right, right.
So why?
And that's a great observation.
Hey, you're doing this wrong. If you go down here, you'd have a better sets.
Yes.
And then it would be this old man.
He come ruin the party.
Yeah.
Right.
We were having fun.
And that's a great observation, because what I mean by that, especially when we apply it over to everyday life and kingdom work, is that there are times when people are struggling, but they're struggling well, in the sense that you notice that they're having a hard time, but they're joyful people in what they're doing.
Yeah.
So when we approach them to help them and show them things, we don't approach them from the point of them being troublemakers, who have gotten to the place where they're bitter and angry and causing problems for other people. They done got out of order. We don't go and warn them. We come alongside to encourage them, to help them, to show them how we struggled in that area at one time, but God's helped us. And let me tell you what He did for us, and walk with them and show them.
Yeah.
And so we're dealing with warning the troublemakers. He says, come alongside those struggling in a trial, that is, comfort the faint-hearted, and then hold back those who are having very little victory or power over temptation. They just keep being drawn into dark things, and they can't seem to get over whatever that is, whatever's crippling them. Right, right.
Yeah, you just walk up there and say, hey, look, you don't know what you're doing. Let me have the thing. Let me show you how to do
yes.
it. Yes. And like you said, if we, well, who called you down here, jerk?
Yeah, yeah. Did we ask you for this?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing of handling these things the right way when it comes to specifically us having accountability. Because this is what this is saying, that we are accountable to one another. In the body of Christ. We're responsible for one another in the sense that if we see a brother struggling with a temptation, we want to come alongside him and help hold him back from it. If that means I got to get more actively involved in his life, that means I got to invite him to come hang out with me and go somewhere with me so that I can get personal and intimate with him and say, look, man, I see what's going on in your life. You're not in this by yourself. There are no temptations that attack man that are not common to everybody. Let me tell you how I've gained some victory in this area of my life, and I think these principles can help you with this. And one of the things that we want to be able to do is when we do notice something out of line is that we try to find what is in line and commend them on that and start there. Not just focus in on what's wrong, build them up to what is right, and then highlight, now when you keep going in that direction the way you do, and what it's going to do is going to help you in this area that you seem to be struggling with. And they start looking at it in a totally different perspective, rather than just walking up and gerbersapple them and saying, come on, knucklehead, yeah. get over it
yeah.
and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you look at things of pointing out, well, y'all doing this the right way, but this is where the disconnect's happening. And I know about it because not only have I experienced it in my own life, but I've seen it in others' life. And this is what some people have helped me with and I've been able to help others with. And then they start saying, I noticed that. I was wondering why I couldn't have victory here. And though I was trying to do my best, you know, so you're looking at their spirit in the sense of, okay, are they receptive? Are they rejecting? If they rejecting, you know that there's a sense of foolishness that they're operating in at the time. Because the scorner, you know, he doesn't want to be corrected. But a wise person who wants to walk with the Lord welcomes that kind of correction, but it's still in a gentle and kind and loving way.
Yeah.
For an example, go look in Proverbs. Let's see if we can find this. I start in Proverbs 16. It might be 22, but we're gonna find it. It's in my mind. Yes, 16:21. The wise in heart will be called prudent. Scripture also teaches us that those who are wise are able to draw out water, deep waters out of somebody's heart. They can pull out some things that are down in there that are good, that God has done, and they're able to pull those things up. That's how you approach certain circumstances, is that you don't come in with the ugly. You come in with, as this passage says, and sweetness or pleasantness of the lips increase what? Pleasantness of the lips. Pleasantness in your approach adds to learning.
Yes.
Pleasantness.
If you're nice to them, they'll listen to it. But if you come in with this, I know it all.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Abrasive, brass. They automatically put up the guard.
Yeah, they didn't shut off. You ain't gonna say nothing to them.
Because we have to be aware, as Thessalonians is helping us, is that it's our responsibility and duty that when we see something out of order, out of line, struggling, whatever it is, we want to be able to help somebody else.
Yeah.
Pleasantness adds to instructions. Adds to the instruction. So we want to help one another. See somebody in a place where they're struggling, come alongside, encourage him, pick him up, help him out. He may not know what he's doing. He wants to know. He wants to be in, wants to be involved, but just don't know how to get up on the board and ride that way.
How to effectively be a witness. Christ.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whatever it may be. They're trying.
They're trying, and they are pleasant about their trying. I mean, they are sincere about their trying.
Mm-hmm.
They just, there's so many times that I wish I knew what I knew now because I'd messed up. There's people I've talked to about things. And I wasn't pleasant, and I wasn't...
Right, you was hard and harsh.
I was hard,
Yeah, I understand. We've all been there. You go through these phases.
You're not listening to me. Come over
and yeah,
I'm going to tell you how to do this, but you ain't listening. Well, you're not going to get to them that way. There's no pleasant if it's not pleasant.
Yeah. And it says that in verse 24, says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones.
There
you go. Pleasant words. It says 16:24. Those pleasant, sweet, they add to instruction and they actually have a way of affecting somebody's life physically. It has an effect on them.
Yeah.
As it says here, it's health to the bones and sweetness to the soul. Doing something inside of them is going to affect their physical, their body, their state of mind as well as their physical body. So we want to feed people with those words that can be a blessing to them, that can help them. And sometimes those no doubt, because it's part of life, that corrective words are a blessing when we're in a position to receive that correction. We love those that help correct us. And that's why Peter says those. If you see a brother caught in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, supernatural, operating in the spirit, let him restore such a brother in the spirit of meekness, for fear he be you be caught in the same thing. Wouldn't you want somebody to come get you out if you was caught into something? Well, amen. Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless this time, bless this time we've had together, and that you will use us in this service to magnify your name. We love you and praise you. Amen.
Amen.